In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We begin by praying. Hail Mary, beloved daughter of the Eternal Father. Hail Mary, admirable mother of the Son. Hail Mary, faithful spouse of the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, my dear mother, my loving mistress, my powerful sovereign. Destroy in me all that may be displeasing to God. Root it up and bring it to naught. Place and cultivate in me everything that is pleasing to Thee. May the light of Thy faith dispel the darkness of my mind. May Thy profound humility take the place of my pride. May Thy continuous sight of God fill my memory with His presence. And may the burning love of Thine Immaculate Heart inflame the lukewarmness of mine. O dearly beloved Mother, grant if it be possible that I may have no other spirit but Thine to know Jesus and His divine will, that I may have no other soul but Thine to praise and glorify the Lord, that I may have no other heart but Thine to love God with a love as pure and ardent as Thine. Amen. This evening I will preach briefly on the topic of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Mass. After our Savior Jesus Christ, no one ever suffered more or sacrificed more for the salvation of mankind than the Blessed Virgin Mary. Thus, no one desires more ardently than she to see the fruits of our Lord's passion and death applied to souls. And this is one of the central aspects of the Mass. In it, the glorious fruits of the passion and death of Jesus Christ are applied to individual souls. We piously believe that it was at Our Lady's request that Saint Peter offered his first Mass on the octave of Pentecost. Venerable Maria de Jesus of Ágreda relates the following in The Mystical City of God. Quote, "The great lady, having asked permission, spoke to the apostles, 'The Redeemer of the world, the true God and my Son, out of the love which He had for men, offered to the Eternal Father the sacrifice of His sacred body and blood, consecrating Himself under the species of bread and wine. Under these appearances, He resolved to remain in His church in order that its children might have in it the sacrifice and food of eternal life. You are the priests who alone are to offer this sacrifice, which embodies the mysteries of the life and death of the Son. It is my desire, if such be your will, that you begin to offer the unbloody sacrifice, and that you consecrate the body and blood of my divine Son, in order that we may render fit thanks for the benefit of His redemption and of the sending of the Holy Ghost into the Church." Close quote. Venerable Maria de Jesus of Ágreda goes on to explain that Mary prepared everything necessary for the first Mass. Quote, "The Queen, with the assistance of her angels and of the other Marys, proceeded to prepare and adorn the hall in which her divine Son had celebrated the Last Supper. And with her own hands, she cleansed it and scrubbed it for His return in the consecration which was to be performed. She prepared the unleavened bread and the wine necessary for the consecration, together with the same paten and chalice in which the Savior had consecrated." Close quote. Thus, in regard to the first Mass after the birth of the church on Pentecost, the Blessed Virgin Mary was continuing her singular cooperation with her Son in the redemption of the world. Her immaculate heart continued, joined to the Sacred Heart of her Son, the infinite love of which cannot be contained by time and space. From Calvary, this love overflows perpetually to the Mass. We must meditate on the fact that it was Mary who first gave her divine Son the human body, which for our sakes was scourged and crucified, the same body whereon we are fed in the Holy Eucharist. The Blessed Virgin Mary is that blessed tabernacle in whom the Son of God was conceived, made man, and dwelt for 9 months. After God, we are indebted most to the Virgin Mary for the divine victim of Calvary and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We must meditate on the profound connection between Mary and the Mass. It was the sacrifice and death of her Son on Calvary which preserved Mary free from all stain of sin from the first moment of her conception. In Holy Mass, there is effected that same sacrifice of Calvary which wrought Mary's Immaculate Conception and filled her with grace, holiness, and splendor. One might thus say, the Mass gave us Mary, and Mary gives us the Mass. It is the Mass that made Mary all holy and pure, and it is meant to do the same for us with Mary's help and cooperation. Jesus gave us Mary to be our mother while she stood at the foot of his cross, one with him in his sacrifice and death for the redemption of man. She becomes our mother on Calvary. Thus, Holy Mass is the most favorable time for asking the Blessed Virgin to exercise her maternal power and intercession and obtain for us every grace and blessing, both spiritual and temporal. Just as Mary cooperated with her Son in the redemption of the world on Calvary, so she continues to do so whenever her Son's sacrifice becomes a present reality at Holy Mass. I will conclude by quoting Father Michael Müller. Quote, why is it that the Mother of God is so desirous of and delights so much in seeing the holy sacrifice of the Mass offered? It is because she desires so much to see God the Father honored and worshipped in a manner worthy of his infinite greatness, because she wishes to see men reconciled to him, because she wishes to obtain for us all the graces necessary for our salvation and sanctification. And she understands that it is by the unbloody sacrifice of the Mass that all these objects are accomplished. The Blessed Virgin knows that to this sacrifice she is indebted for all the other graces and favors which are now hers in heaven, and that the time of Mass, during which the sacrifice of the cross is renewed, is for her the time most favorable for obtaining every kind of blessing for men, but especially for her servants. Close quote. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.